So next week, it is the start of Relationship Week. But before we get there, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about hearts. The title of my sermon is God's Heart, My Heart. You know, is that which is on my heart, is that actually God's heart? You know, many of us, our hearts will be determined, or we'll get the blueprint of love through, you know, Seven Dalan and Isidingu. Or we'll get it through, you know, all these Hollywood magazines that tells us that love is getting married today and getting divorced tomorrow. But some of us might actually have, you know, godly parents, and we'll get our influence from them. But it doesn't matter who they are, it's still not a perfect picture. It's still not a perfect picture of God's heart. So tonight we're going to look in the Bible, just a couple aspects of God's heart. There's hundreds. I just took a couple that I would like to talk to you about tonight. But before we start, let's just close in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for this afternoon, Father. Father, thank you that we can come into your presence, Father. And Father, we just declare, Father, that tonight's all about you, Father. Have your way in this place, Father. Father, I pray that you will anoint my lips, Father, and that every word that I speak, Father, will bring glory to your name, Father. Father, tonight's not about coming for a teaching or coming for worship, Father. Tonight's about spending time with you, Father. And we say, Father, have your will in this place, in Jesus' name. We'll start off with Matthew 22, verse 37. Now, the Pharisees comes and they actually want to, you know, catch Jesus out. So they ask him a trick question. The Bible says it's actually a lawyer that came and asked him this question. You know, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? And Jesus' response is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And second to this is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And for us, it is impossible to love God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul. So if you're sitting here tonight, you've got your pencil out, and you're already going to write down, you know, the 5 steps, and you're going to make a plan, how you're going to achieve this, I specifically want to pray with you after the service, because this is not about doing. This is not about how we are going to make it do. This is about looking at the mirror, you know, like the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is there so we can look, see that we can't make it on ourselves, and trust in God more to help us make it. And tonight's the same thing. We can't make it. We're going to look at God's heart, and I'm already going to give the answer, you can't make it. But then the answer is, we need to trust God to make it through us. I know all of you know it, but just the second verse, love your neighbor as yourself. Just get practical. Your neighbor is the guy at the filling station. Your neighbor is the lady that sits behind Speak and Pay stall. Your neighbor is the Stormer supporter that lives next door. You know, everybody that you get in contact with is your neighbor. And to love them, you know, like yourself, it's impossible. You know, I came here this afternoon, you know, prayed up and read up and ready to give the sermon. And somebody comes and hangs on me and I get irritated like this. You know, there's no way that we can make it. But we'll get to the good news now. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. You know, from the heart is a place where our ambition comes. You know, the things we still want to achieve, the things we still want to do and go, and, you know, out of our hearts comes the desires, the things we still want to, you know, I still want to get married. I am married, but I'm just using it as an example. You know, still, I don't have a daughter, but still have a daughter. You know, the heart is a place where all of that comes out. And we need to put a guard in front of our hearts to make sure that that desire does not exceed the love we have for Christ. That desire does not exceed, you know, living out the life that Christ has for us. There's lots of scripture tonight, so I hope you brought your pencils to write it down. Luke 6 verse 45. A good man brings forth good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings forth evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. From the, for the mouth speaks that which the heart is full of. We all know this. The principle of, you know, if a guy's in love, you will, you know, he doesn't need to tell you. You already know it. He will constantly speak about love. He'll constantly draw little hearts in his diary. He'll constantly, you know, have this jewelry magazine with all the engagement rings. Yeah, sure. What is in your heart is what will come out of your mouth. And if you spend, 20 hours watching DVDs and 2 hours reading Bible, what is the thing that's going to come out of your mouth? The 2 hours or the 20 hours? Jeremiah 15 verse 12. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Now this is Jesus. We just pause there for a second. How did Jesus love us? He loved us by giving. And what did he give? He gave his all. He gave his life. And his commandment to us is that we should love one another in that same way. Giving time. Giving support. If somebody phones you at 2 o'clock in the morning, your first reaction will be, can't this wait? I'm sure if you would have called Jesus up 2 o'clock in the morning and said, listen, I have a problem, pray with me, he would have gladly prayed with you. Can I get an amen? Verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you to do. That love is a verb. It's an action. It's not just a feeling. You can serve someone, you can help someone, you can work for someone without loving them, but you can't love someone without showing that, without becoming an action, without going to buy that engagement ring that cost you 3 months' salary. Can I get an amen, guys? Okay, now, we're just going to look at 7 aspects of God's love, as I said earlier. But please, guys, this is not a works thing. This is not about, going to make a plan, how am I going to achieve this? So think of this as, I can't achieve it, but with God in me, he can make a plan. So the first one we're going to look at is everlasting. Now we read Jeremiah 31. Now Jeremiah 31 was written when Jeremiah was a prophet, and he wrote it, and the whole of Israel was taken captive to Babylon. Now, only a small group of people, those who were sick or wounded or too old to travel, those who didn't have a value as a slave were pretty much left behind. They were left behind in a city that was ruined. Walls were pushed down. There was virtually nothing. And Jeremiah brings this word to them. The Lord has appeared to me from afar, saying, yeah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with love and kindness, I will draw you close. With love and kindness, I will draw you closer. God is saying here that, yes, there's only a small group of you left. But I will show you, through my love, I will pull you closer through that which I do for you. God's love there's a verse that I constantly pray for my brother. He's an alcoholic, and I constantly pray with him. The Bible says that his goodness will lead us to repentance. His goodness will pull us closer. And that's exactly what it says here. My goodness will draw you closer. My goodness will show you who I am and how much I love you. The second one is unmerited. Now, I first had it unconditional, but there is a condition, and Jesus Christ is the condition. But God's love is unmerited in the fact that there's nothing we can do to deserve it. There's nothing we can do to ever pay God back for His love. We read 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. As soon as we enter into God's kingdom, we are His sons. We're not His slaves, we're not His servants, we're His sons. We are co-heirs with Christ. And as I said, there's nothing that we can do to deserve it. It's a free gift. The next one is, God's love is demonstrative. He comes and He demonstrates His love towards us. Read Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrated His love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, and this is something personal. You know, whether you're Sean sitting here in front or Esther sitting there in the back, Christ died for each and every one of us. This is not somewhere, sometime, you know, this is Christ died for you. Christ died for me. And it is still applicable today. The next one is giving. Read John 3 verse 16. For God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The only trick here is can we receive? Most of you will know that my wife was in a car accident about 2 months ago. And after going to the hospital and having these huge debts, maxed out a credit card and all kinds of stuff, somebody comes in and blesses us financially. And the first thing that jumps into my mind is, yeah, but you know, can I really accept this? You know, God, you know, I'm the man of this house. I'm supposed to provide for my wife and for my kids. And you know what? God provides for other people as well. It's not just your salary. It's not just your father that provides for your studies. But, you know, God comes and he can provide. He wants to provide. Paul writes in Romans 8 verse 32. He that spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, this is not a prosperity teaching, but there is a place that God wants to just bless you. You know, yes, you're in a tight spot and he just comes and he just gives you money through someone else, or he gives you a car through somebody else, or there is a place that God, like your father, just wants to bless you. We were at Sophisa's wedding on Monday, Sophisa and Melanie, and Sophisa just told us a story about how his father drove the same car for 20 years so that he can provide for them, so that he can, you know, buy them gifts and give them education and you know, putting his own desires, his own wants, you know, on the back burner so that he can provide for his kids, so that he can give what they want and what they need. And that is God's heart. You know, he is a perfect father. He also wants to give us that which we desire. That leads us to the second one, sacrificial. You know, I always loved my parents, but only now that I have two sons, I really, you know, appreciate them. You know, only once you're in that sad situation where you need to sacrifice your sleep, when you need to sacrifice, you know, your time. You can't just, you know, go and watch a movie. You need to worry about them. You sacrifice your finances. You know, only now do I realize, you know, exactly what it cost my parents to get me the size. And God so much more, you know. He's a God that has a love that is sacrificial. We can read John 15 verse 13. No one has greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Christ came and laid it down. Nobody took it from him. It wasn't stolen. He willingly lay it down. Like a father willingly lay down his sleep, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, standing up and going to rock little Joshua. You know, yes, you can put a pillow over your head and sleep. You know. But you know, you love him. And God loves you. 1 John 3 verse 16. Hereby we perceive God's love. Hereby we perceive the love that God bestowed. Hereby we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. The next one, forgiving. Read Psalm 86, verse 5. For you, Lord, are great, ready to forgive, abundance, love, and kindness to those who call upon you. You know that first verse that says here that, for you, Lord, are great, and abundance, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, abundance and love and kindness. You know, this ready to forgive, this is not like, yeah, I'm ready to go home after the service. This speaks about an athlete standing at the blocks, ready to jump out of the blocks as soon as a gun goes off. Or a rugby player just waiting for that that whistle to blow for the match to start. Now, I used to love to play rugby, and the worst part of the whole game was that 10 seconds, that felt like half an hour. When you're on the field, the guy's waiting to kick the ball, start the match, and you're just standing there and waiting. And waiting. You know? And God says that this is, He is standing, He is waiting, ready to forgive us. You know, I drive old Bronx Spread Road, and I get on straight up and jump on the N4. And there's lots of taxis where I drive. It would literally be like standing and waiting for the taxi. Okay, he's going to swim in front of me. I can see him. He's coming. Now I can forgive him. You know? Is that our attitude? And that's God's attitude. He says He's ready, waiting. Also, the second verse, abundance in love and kindness. The love and kindness actually is translated from a word that says hashid, meaning more than you expect, more than you want. You know, take this for example. If you go to the bank and you ask the bank manager, listen, I want to borrow 50,000 rand to go buy a car. The bank manager says, okay, it's going to take about an hour to process your request. So chair my office, there's a nice lazy boy, here's a cappuccino, some lint chocolates next to you. So just relax. What's your favorite magazine? 2 minutes later, you know, he goes out. 2 minutes later, he comes back with your favorite magazine. He says, it won't be long now. Jumps out. A minute later, he comes back. He says, your request has been processed. He's still busy burning your lips on the cappuccino. And he says, but the bad news is he can't borrow you. You know, he can't lend 50,000 rand to you. But because you're such a good customer, you can just take it for free. You know, that is hashid. That is abundance of love and kindness. More than you expect, more than you can dream for. And that is the kind of love that God has for us. In 2 Samuel 9, there's a really great story about David. Now, the Bible says that David had a heart after God, And there's a guy called Mephibosheth. Now, David discovered that one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. His name is Mephibosheth. Now, as a baby, he was dropped. So he was a bit paralyzed. He wasn't active on the battlefield like all the other cousins and nephews and brothers and uncles. And you know, he wasn't a warrior because he was disabled. All the other guys were killed on the battlefield. Now, if a new king would take over a kingdom from somebody else, he would completely wipe out the kingdom's genealogy. There would be no one left. You know, to make sure that in 10, 20 years, 15 years down the line, nobody would come back and actually try and, you know, overthrow the kingdom. So this guy hears that David is looking for him, and he becomes afraid, very afraid. You know, David that did all these amazing things, with, killed so many thousands of people, and now, you know, he's looking for me. And it's not like Mephibosheth can run away. Eventually, David's spies get him. Takes him back to the palace, and he is expecting, his head would be chopped off or something. He would be killed, because he is, from the other family. But David doesn't do that. David said, I had a covenant with your father. And because I had a covenant with your father, I'm going to give you back all the lands of your grandfather. I'm going to give you a place at my table. You don't eat anywhere else. You eat with me at my table. I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to honor you. And that is God's heart. The next one, jealous. If you read the Bible, there's a couple of names that God reveals Himself to, to for us. The one is, Jehovah Jireh, which means the God who provides. One of the other ones is Jehovah Kana, which means the jealous God. Read in Exodus 34, verse 14. For you shall worship no other gods, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. You know, this is not a jealous like I'm jealous of a Sean's motorbike. Won't last on the gravel roads, but still nice bike. You know, this is the way that, I'm jealous for my wife. If somebody would say something mean to her, I'll come down on him like a ton of bricks. Or I'm jealous for my sons. You know, if somebody would slap them or do something to them, man, I would be upset. And that is how God is jealous for us. He's jealous for our time. He's jealous for our hearts. Spirit in John 2, verse 13, gives us a story about, you know, just after Jesus came into Jerusalem for the Last Supper, for the feast. Anyway, Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and the people lay down their clothes and lay down palm leaves and everything in front of him, and he's like received like royalty. Just a little bit later, he goes into the temple, and he sees all these money exchanging going, you know, taking place, people selling doves and sheep, all kinds of junk. He goes outside, he makes a whip, he goes back in, and he chases everybody out with a whip. Does that sound like mild Jesus? That sounds like the Lion of Judah, you know, turning over tables, chasing people out with a whip. He was jealous for God's things. He was jealous for the things of his Father. You know, are we jealous for the things of God? If somebody comes and put up a stall here, you know, will we chase them out with a whip? No, we'll carry them out, but you know, being jealous for God. And being jealous for the things of God. Like God is jealous for us. Can I ask the ushers just to get the communion? We're almost finished. Okay, but now we come to the good news. Read in Romans 5 verse 5. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And this is the good news. You know, it's not up to us. Yes, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come and do it in us, but the Bible says that the love of Christ has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's not about now I need to go make a plan. Now I need to go put these 10 steps into practice. No, it's about allowing the Holy Spirit to come and do it through us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Matthew 22, verse 37. The commandment again. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It's impossible. There's so many things that's you know, making war for my heart at the moment. You know, some of them are great. You know, I must love my wife. But I must love God more. And yes, I must love what I'm doing. But I must love God more. And as I say, it's impossible for us to do it. But we must just allow the Holy Spirit. I spoke to him a while back about this. And he just said, it's just like breathing out. Just like allowing that which is already in you, the love of God, just to come out. It's not about you need to go do it. It's about allowing God to come and do it. Can we just all stand, please? Second Thessalonians 3 verse 5. And may the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. And may the Lord direct your heart to the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Our Father, we just want to thank you for this afternoon, Father. Father, thank you we can come and spend time in your presence, Father. Father, I just pray that you come and work in our hearts right now, Father. Father, I pray that you come and speak to us, Father. Can we just have 2 minutes of silence? Just allow God to just come and speak to you. Come and speak to you where you are trying to strive, where you are trying to achieve, where you are, you know, fighting the battle on his behalf and not allowing God to fight the battle for you. The victory is already won. We just need to enforce it. As I said in the beginning, I really believe that there's a couple of guys specifically that I would love to pray with. People that come to the point that they want to make it work. They put so much effort in trying to love someone, put so much effort in trying to show God's love. And all that's happening is they're getting tired. They're getting moodyless, and they just want to give up. I just really feel that God says that his burden is light, his yoke is soft. And it's not about you trying to to be Superman or Superwoman, and you're trying to achieve everything. But it's allowing God that created the heavens and the earth just to breathe through us. Just to use us as a mirror that He can shine His own reflection on. Can I just ask if there's any guys that has that feeling, or if you're a lady, you're welcome also to respond. Just to come to the front. We would really love to pray with you. Really just trust God for that striving thing just to be broken tonight. That you don't need to make it happen. You don't need to put in your effort. You know, you can literally allow God to come and work through you. So it's not about what you can do, but it's about what God can do through you. Thank you.